Bless these words in Jesus' name. I was going to continue in the series about the name of God today, but we'll continue that next week. We have other things that the Holy Spirit imparted. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 6, the Word of God says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I won't come to God unless I have an expectation of a result. That if I seek God, that He will reward me in some way. Whether that is an answer to prayer, whether that is edification, whether that is His fellowship. I won't come to God unless I expect from God that He will reward me in some way. Now, as a believer, I have an expectation. The question is what that expectation is. But every believer has an expectation. If I expect that God will hear me, then I will pray. If I expect that God will reward me in some manner, then I will come to Him. If I expect that God will be kind to me, I will draw near to Him. On the other hand, if I expect that God will not answer me, I won't ask Him. If I expect that God will be harsh toward me, I will withdraw from Him. This is what happened in the garden. They saw that they were naked and they withdrew. Why did they withdraw? Because they came into a consciousness of their failure. And they did not keep the consciousness of the character of God. And so they withdrew from Him. And so I'm going to live according to my expectations. Jesus said to the man, "According to your faith be it unto you." That faith produced an expectation. The question, of course, is what is your expectation? What is your expectation? Do you expect God to be true to His character, or do you expect that in your particular case He will not be? A lot of people are like that. God is kind to everybody, but I'm not so sure He'll be kind to me. God loves people, but I'm not sure that He'll express that love to me. God answers prayer, but He won't answer my prayer. Why? Because I'm not quite there. I'm not quite good because I failed last week. Because there's something wrong with me. Well, my expectation in that kind of a case is built with my perception of myself. There's something wrong with me, therefore God is not going to answer my prayer. I fall short, therefore God is not going to bring me into the fullness of a call. My expectation is from who I see myself as being. I think that God is going to be harsh. God is very righteous and He's a little bit austere. And so I'm kind of afraid of God in the wrong sense. Not in the reverential sense, but in the sense of He's going to hurt me. And so I'm going to keep my distance. There is an expectation that is formed out of a wrong understanding of who He is. Out of the wrong comprehension of His character. Whatever it is that I do in my life, I do it out of a sense of expectation. Everything has a motive. Everything has a motive. My motive comes out of my expectation. In Psalm 62 in verse 5, "My soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is in Him." My soul, wait upon God. Because my expectation is in Him. If I don't have an expectation in the Savior, then I will not be able to wait upon God. Because I will feel like God won't come through for me. I may have something that I pray for. I may have a vision. This is a good example. Let's say that I have a vision for something. And God has imparted that vision for my heart. Let's say that, I don't know, that I have a vision to help unwed mothers. And that's a wonderful thing for those people who are involved in that. And God puts that kind of a vision in some people's hearts. Let's say that that is my vision, to form a center for unwed mothers. I can enter into that through a lot of anxiety. I can try to make that happen through natural self-effort because I see it as being a religiously good thing. Or maybe I don't even attach religion to it. I just see it as being a socially good thing. My expectation then becomes out of my interpretation of the quality of my vision and what it is that I want to achieve. And I say to myself, well, I want to achieve a good thing. So my expectation won't wait upon God. My expectation will be of a desired result. And that result will have a certain type of a quality to it. That will be my expectation. If that's my expectation, I'm going to start striving to try to make things happen. Not quite realizing that perhaps God may have a timing for that vision. Habakkuk 2:3 says, the vision is for an appointed time. It's yet for an appointed time. And though it tarry, wait for it. He says, if there is a vision, wait for it. Because there is an appointed time. And he says, furthermore, he says, when it comes, it will not tarry. It will come. In other words, if I have a vision for a center for unwed mothers, God has an appointed time for that center to happen. Why have an appointed time? Why not just, it's a good thing, right? Why not just make it happen? Because it is highly possible, among other potential reasons, that maybe there's a particular unwed mother that I'm supposed to go minister to. Like Jesus with the woman at the well. There was a particular woman at a particular appointed time where the Savior was to meet this woman. He had a 5-minute window. Now, he was coming by foot from 20 miles away. And he was walking to this well to meet her at a specific appointed time because there was a 5-minute window. She was only there to get some water. But he met her at an appointed time. So when my expectation is of God, the appointed time will not be a problem for me. Because my expectation is that God has a plan and a purpose and a timing. I cannot be in God's will if I am apart from God's time. I cannot be in God's will if I'm apart from God's geography. The time and the place is an integral part of the will. I used to wonder about coming out here. I was pursuing medical school and then God turned me. And I didn't want to come out here. And then I wondered, well, if I was going to come out here, why didn't I come out earlier? Well, the proof is in the pudding, as they say. There was an appointed time in which I met many of you. And if that hadn't happened, some of you would have never been saved. Or at least not in the way that you were. And so there is an appointed time. I know one thing, John would not have been saved. Who got saved because of Sage. Who got saved because of Ashley. Who got saved because she met me at an appointed time. You see, that appointed time, the ability to wait for it comes from an expectation. It comes from the fact that I have an expectation in God. I don't have an expectation in the outcome per se. Sometimes people get a vision or a call and that becomes the expectation. Sometimes people have prayer And in the negative sense, not regarding God's character, but the actual object of the desire, that becomes their expectation. But what if God answers the prayer outside of the way that I expected, because my expectation was not in His character? My expectation was not in all that He is. My expectation was not perhaps in His sovereignty, or in His calling, or in His plan for my life. But my expectation was very narrow in what I saw was a desired outcome. If that's my expectation, then I can very easily say God doesn't answer prayer. But He did. You know what an answer to prayer is? When I pray and God's hand is moved. That's an answer to prayer. Now, what is not necessarily, could be, but not necessarily an answer to prayer? When I pray and I get the car I was praying for. Now, He will supply all my needs, and if I need a car, He'll give me a car. And there's nothing wrong with asking God for a car, and He's given me cars. I mean, He made it very obvious. He's given me things that I didn't have to pay a penny for that are quite expensive, and there was no obvious reason why I should have received them. So it is possible for me, as I'm walking in the light, as I'm delighting myself in the Lord, that He will give me exactly what I desire. And I'm not saying that He doesn't do that. What I am saying is, what if He chooses to answer differently? What if I pray, God, make me a pastor, but I have in mind, make me a pastor with 10,000 people. And I'm a pastor with 50 people. Did He answer the prayer? Of course He did. His hand moved. His hand moved. See, this is part of having that expectation in Him and understanding that He is eternal. So my expectation cannot be so much in the temporal, although the temporal will see the effect of the eternal. My expectation is in the eternal. That the eternal God, who has all knowledge and all power, will answer according to that all knowledge and all power. It's like that story I like to tell about my friend who worked with blind kids. She had this one blind child. She took him in as a foster mom. And she loved this kid with all her heart. 13-year-old boy. With not just blindness, but also very hard of hearing and some other types of problems. She didn't have the means with which to take care of him. So she was praying that God would take care of him. And she was trying to find somebody to adopt this child who had the means to take care of him. And she prayed, God, do not allow anything bad to happen to this boy. And 2 weeks prior to being adopted by somebody who did have the means, the boy dies. He contracts an illness and dies. And she was so bitter. Why was she bitter? She had an expectation of a certain outcome rather than an expectation in the character of God. And she said to God, I asked You to not let anything bad happen to him, and then right before he's adopted, he dies. And she was very hurt. Because hope deferred makes the heart sick. And 2 months later, she read in the newspaper that the person who was going to adopt him was a notorious child molester. He had been arrested. And when she read that story, God spoke to her heart and said to her, see, I answered your prayer. God protected him. But not in the way of her expectation of an outcome, but according to His character and what He knows. To her, it was a temporal prayer. But she, in her temporal prayer, was praying into eternity to God. And He answered her according to eternal truth, not temporal circumstance. The boy is in New Jerusalem. And he's not deaf and he's not blind. And he has no other problems. He answered her prayer. But her expectation was in the wrong place. This is why the hearers of the faith, it seemed like they, and the Bible says it in Hebrews 11, that they never saw, although they believed, but they never received the answer to their prayer. Was the prayer not answered? No, the prayer was answered. They were just not around to see the answer. Abraham really did become the father of many nations, but not while he was walking in the sand, but rather when he was walking in paradise. See, Abraham didn't die. Abraham moved. What is your expectation and where does it lie? Because it's going to determine the way that you live your life. Proverbs 23:18 says, "For surely there is an end, and your expectation will not be cut off. For surely there is an outcome. For surely if God gave a promise, there is an answer to the promise. And the expectation of that answer will not be cut off. Surely there is an end." And when God promises a person something, God will answer them according to what He promised them. There is an end, and their expectation will not be cut off. Now, is it possible for me to not receive a promise? Yes, it is. If I walk away. For example, Saul. Saul did not receive what God had promised him. Why? Saul walked away. When Saul would not go with what God said, he stepped out of the promise. Saul's seed was supposed to be on the throne of Israel. But when Saul would not live in faith responses and faith obedience to God, God changed to David's seed. And God said to Saul, "I'm going to give your throne and your promise to someone who's better than you are." Because Saul would not respond to God in the promises of God, God gave the promise elsewhere. Saul walked away. I can walk away because my expectation is not of God. Why did Saul walk away? Because Saul's expectation was elsewhere. Saul's expectation, on the one hand, was about the ability of the Philistines against him as he's waiting for Samuel. And Samuel wasn't showing up, but the Philistines were showing up. And Israel was taking off and still no Samuel. And the appointed time had come and still no Samuel. Saul's expectation was not in the definition that God had given through Samuel. Saul's expectation was that the Philistines are going to slaughter him. And so Saul made decisions according to his expectation. When he did that, he stepped out of what God had promised him. And then God says, "Go and kill the Amalekites." And he doesn't do it. And he spares the king, and he spares the best of the sheep, and he spares all these best of everything. And then Samuel comes to Saul and says, "Forget it." And then Saul starts blaming it on people. Why did Saul spare the best of the things? Because his expectation for blessing was greater in the sheep than it was in God. So because he has an expectation of the material things, not in the promise of God, not in the definition of God, God took away the promise from Saul. Now David, on the other hand, was a train wreck. David did everything wrong you could possibly do. He lied. He cheated. This mighty man. Who in the world would pick these guys as mighty? They were all the disenchanted, all the ones who were, you know, discontent, the criminals. And they started hooking up with David. This is a mighty man of God, isn't it, David? He's hanging out with the criminals, and everybody who's disgruntled is coming to David. Well, David was a train wreck. That's probably why they liked him, because they were train wrecks too. But David had an expectation from God. David knew when he was 15 years old, as he was standing against the giant, that there was nothing that God would not do for him. And he had an expectation that was not in the giant's ability, but in God's ability. Whereas all of Israel had an expectation in the ability of the Philistines and not in the ability of the God whom they were fighting for. And because they lost that expectation, they were paralyzed in the face of the Philistines, particularly in the face of the giant. These mighty men of Israel. But here comes this 15-year-old kid with an expectation from God. And the kid, Saul tries to give the kid his sword and his armor, and they don't fit. They're too big for him because he's just a little kid. And David said to himself, I can't have expectation in this sword and this armor. I do have entire expectation in God's faithfulness to me. I'm going to take on the Philistine because the Philistine is nothing compared to God, and there's my expectation. We always will live according to our expectation. We always will live according to our expectation. In 1 Kings 18, in verse 43, Elijah was dealing with Ahab. And Elijah had prayed earlier that the rain would stop, and it hadn't rained for 3 years. And then Elijah prayed that it would rain. Now, Elijah had an expectation from God. Elijah just finished dealing with the false prophets. And he had an expectation that as he soaked his altar with water and lots of it, not just a little bit, but lots of it, so that he made a moat around the altar, that God would bring down, of all things, fire from heaven. And let me ask you, when's the last time you saw fire come down from heaven? That was the last time Elijah saw it prior to this also. But Elijah, because he knew God and he knew God's character, knew very well that when the rubber met the road, God was going to be right there with him. And so Elijah had an expectation from God that if he was going to take on the 450 prophets of Baal, that he was going to have an outcome. And so the 450 prophets build an altar and they whip themselves and do all the hocus pocus and the hokey pokey, and nothing is happening. And Elijah said, what's the matter? Is your God asleep? Is he on vacation? Is there a problem? What's the matter? Can't hear you now? And then he says, give me some water, and he soaks his altar. He says, give me some more water, and soaks his altar. Give me some more water, and soaks his altar. Give me some. You know what? Fire and water don't really mix. It's not that Elijah thought it was gasoline. He thought it was water. And he said, okay, now God, and fire came. Why? He had an expectation. Fire came down from heaven. Now, the very next thing, Elijah says, he said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Elijah, though, had an expectation that was not based on sight. There is nothing. There's no clouds. There is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. Elijah was not thwarted by the sight condition to turn back from his expectation of God. The servant said, there is nothing. And he went back 7 times, and 6 of the 7 times there still was nothing. But then in verse 44, and it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth, like way in the distance, way on the horizon. He said, there ariseth a little cloud, a tiny little whiff of vapor in the air. The kind of thing, if I saw that on the horizon, I'd be having a cookout. He says, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. It's nothing cloud. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare your chariot and get thee down, that rain may not stop you. Okay, now, you've seen the puffy little clouds. And you take one that's teeny, about the size of a man's hand. You're not thinking deluge. You're thinking pretty day, let's have a picnic. You're not thinking deluge. But it was not many minutes later that the chariot could not even get to its destination, and the rain was coming down in sheets out of this little cloud the size of a man's hand. You see, Elijah had an expectation from God. Elijah did not have an expectation from the conditions. Elijah had an expectation from God's character, from God's faithfulness. Elijah had an expectation from where he stood before God. Elijah had an expectation because he knew that he could come boldly to the throne of grace and expect help in time of need. And the expectation did not disappoint Elijah. When my expectation is from God, when my expectation is in His faithfulness, when my expectation is in His character, He will not disappoint. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what He promises, according to some people's conception of slowness. I'm reading in the Amplified. But He is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient toward you. The Lord is not slow. He does not delay and He is not tardy. Whatever God promises, He fulfills. Whenever God says something, He comes through. Whatever God says takes place at the appointed time exactly as God says it. The difference, though, is my expectation. If I am willing to expect from God, then I receive all He has for me. If I'm unwilling to expect from God, I step out from the place of receiving. So I always live in my expectation from God. In Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Had He said, and shall He not do it? Or spoken it, and shall He not make it good? There's my expectation. You see, this was the thing with Elijah. Elijah was living in a faith response to God. Elijah was not living in the external conditions of his environment. Elijah was not living in the fact that the king and queen were all for those 450 prophets, And Elijah was the only one who was speaking out for God as a prophet. Elijah was not intimidated by the fact that there were 450 of them. And in fact, there were 850 of them because 450 were of Baal and the rest were of other gods. And they all got wiped out. Elijah was not living in the expectation of the fact that the king was the king and he could kill him. He was expecting God's faithfulness to come through for him. Now, right after that event, what happens? Elijah changes his expectation. Jezebel, the king's wicked wife, who loved those prophets, said, "Elijah, you're going to be as one of them. In other words, I'm going to kill you." Elijah changed his expectation from an expectation in God's character to an expectation in Jezebel's ability because she was a queen. And he took off. And he ran for days, clear across and out of the country. See, Elijah lost his expectation. Now, when Elijah lost his expectation, what he did not lose is the faithfulness of God. Now, Elijah lost his expectation not because of rebellion or lust. He lost it out of the weakness that came with fear. You see, there's a difference between the loss of expectation between Saul and Elijah. Elijah lost it because he was afraid, because he found himself to be weak compared to the queen. Saul lost his expectation because of pride. And Saul elevated himself above God and would not live in faith responses. You see, when God met Elijah, Elijah turned. When God met Saul, Saul hardened his heart. My expectation is always rooted in God's character. My expectation is always rooted in God's character. If my expectation is rooted elsewhere, the results are going to show it. So as a believer, my expectation is always rooted in God's character. In Philippians 1:20, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." What Paul is saying here is my expectation is that God is going to be glorified no matter what condition I find myself in. That God is going to reveal His nature, reveal His character, reveal who He is, and win souls according to His Word, no matter what my condition is. Because Paul's expectation also led to his hope. If my expectation is of God, my hope will be of God. Now that hope is the reflection of that expectation. That's why I always say that the hope that does not disappoint, that comes through patience, that leads to faith, that leads to experience, that leads to hope that doesn't disappoint, that hope is my reflection of expectation. That's what I expect. Paul was expecting God to be glorified because that was the desire of his heart. And his expectation was in God's character. So he wasn't looking at what would happen to him or his condition. He was looking at God's character and God's glory. Because he knew very well that if God is glorified, that's much better off for Paul than anything else. Paul's going to be well off if God is glorified. And even if Paul had to die, and to get God to be glorified, it was still better for him to die in that case than to live. Because remember, there is no death for the believer. We do not taste death. There is only an address change. How many people have moved? Show of hands. How many of you have moved in your lifetimes? Most of you have moved in your lifetime. Well, that's what I'm talking about. In Romans 4:13, the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. That means that if I have an expectation, my expectation is according to my faith. It's not according to how good I am, because there's a whole lot of good people who have some pretty strange expectations. There's a whole lot of wicked people who receive their expectations just like David did. But it's according to faith. Now here's the thing. Faith produces capacity for expectation. Faith produces capacity for expectation. Faith in what? Faith in God's character and faith in God's promises. Both are required for me to have expectation. Without picking up a promise, there's nothing to have expectation of. Without believing God's character, I have no ability to have expectation of someone I don't trust. And so faith is the foundation of expectation. Now, Abraham received a promise. And then he received a mandate. And the mandate, by sight, contradicted the promise. But faith in God's character allowed Abraham to have the capacity to go contrary to the promise in order to stay faithful to the mandate. And God says, give up your only son. And that was his hope in the natural sense if his expectation was of his son. If his expectation wasn't his son, he would never give up his son, because then he would say, well, if I give up his son, then I will give up the promise that God had given me. When God wanted that expectation to be first in his character, so that his character could fulfill the promise. And so Abraham, because he had faith in God's character, had the capacity to go contrary by sight to what God had promised him. But knowing fully well that God is not a man that he should repent or that he should lie, knowing fully well that God would come through just as he promised, regardless of whatever mandate he might have given Abraham. You see, sometimes the mandate is a test. To see where is your expectation. Is your expectation in God's faithfulness, or is your expectation in the object of the promise, Abraham? And Abraham's expectation was in the character of God. And his expectation didn't waver, because he took the boy, and the boy was 21-year-old strapping farm boy. He wasn't some little kid. I think sometimes you picture Isaac as this little 10-year-old, 12-year-old kid or something who can't really do anything about it anyway. No, he was 21 years old and he was a strapping farm boy. That guy was a sheep herder. Those guys pick sheep up on their shoulders and carry them around. This was no little kid. He could have taken Abraham in a nanosecond. But Isaac had an expectation also of God that was imparted to him from his father. See, this is one of the strengths of parenting, that I can impart the expectations that I have of God to my children. And then they have an expectation. And I get this expectation from God, and I'm Isaac, And I say, hey, Dad, where's the sacrifice? He said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And as Isaac is being bound to the altar, he still has an expectation that God will provide himself a sacrifice. As Abraham is holding the knife above Isaac, he still has an expectation God will provide himself a sacrifice. As the knife is just about to come down, he still has an expectation. And he hears the voice say, okay, Abraham, stop right there. Stop right there, buddy. You've shown me where your expectation really lies. You see, Abraham had an expectation in the right place. And then on mountainous Moriah, not Mount Moriah, there is no Mount Moriah, it's mountainous region of Moriah. And in fact, the scholars told us that the particular mount was Mount Calvary, just a few thousand years before the Savior found himself there. On mountainous Moriah, there was a ram caught in the thicket. When Abraham said God will provide himself a lamb, and sure enough, he did, just a little bit later. In Luke 19:20, in the parable of the servants with the pound, there was one servant who had the wrong expectation. Two servants had the right expectation. They were not afraid to take a risk with God. They were not afraid to trade their pounds. And the one that traded 10 got 10 more. The one that traded 5 got 5 more. They both doubled what they had because they had the right expectation. But their expectation was in the character of God. In other words, they knew that if they took a risk, that the way things went, it would go fine for them. That everything would be fine. That they would not lose taking a risk with God. But the one servant did not have that. And he kept the pound in a napkin and then he gave it back and he said to the master, see, here's what's yours. And then he said, in verse 21, the servant said, for I fear thee because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up where thou layest not down. Thou reapest where thou did not sow. Was that accurate? No, it wasn't, but it was his perception of that master. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man. And in the original it said, so you know I'm an austere man, do you? That's how it reads in the original language. It's not that he's saying, yeah, I'm an austere man and you know it. So you think I'm austere, do you? Taking up, and you think I take up where I don't lay down, do you? You think I reap where I don't sow, do you? You see, here's the thing. Unless I know the character of God, I'm going to end up with the wrong expectations. That servant did not know the character of God and ended up with the wrong expectations. When he ended up with the wrong expectations, he ended up with the wrong results. My expectation always comes from the character of God. In Proverbs 24:13, the Word of God says, my son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Where is my expectation rooted? In the knowledge of wisdom. In other words, in the knowledge and ability for the practical application of God's Word in the specifics of my life. And there is the root of my expectation. So I expect according to His Word. And when I expect according to the promises of God, according to His Word, my expectation is not cut off and it is sweet to me. And as I wait, the process is sweet to me because I have an expectation of God and what He is doing rather than of my desired outcome. In Genesis 6:17, there was an expectation. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. And then in verse 22, after God told Noah to build the ark, it says, thus did Noah according to all that God had commanded him. Noah had an expectation from God based on what God promised, not on the conditions of his environment. How many people receive promises of God? They look up in the Bible promises of God and they have no expectation in those promises. And they live in trepidation and anxiety and fear and frustration, and the promises are never entered into by a faith response. Noah didn't have to build the ark, but Noah chose to build the ark because he believed God's promise and had an expectation in that promise. And when God gives a promise, I can always have an expectation in that promise. When God gives a word from His throne in His Word, I can always have an expectation in that word. I live in those promises and there's my expectation. As I live in the promises of God, my expectations are not disappointed. Noah did not have an expectation in the fact that it had never rained or that the world had never flooded. I mean, think about it. Let's say you're Noah, and God says to you today, I'm going to flood the world. Where is your expectation going to be? It's the world. The world doesn't flood. The world did flood. See, Noah was not concerned with his experiences. Noah was not concerned with the conditions. Noah was not concerned with the fact that it had never rained before. Noah was not concerned with the fact that the fountains of the deep were never opened up before. Noah had an expectation that God said, there's going to be a flood. And because Noah had an expectation in the promises of God, Noah had the ability, in faith response, to make decisions according to what God had promised him, even though he had not yet received that promise. But the promise was coming. And so for 120 years, Noah is building this ark without a drop of rain. The neighbors thinking he's crazy. Until, of course, the flood came. And Noah's expectation was not cut off. What's the source of your expectation? There are only three places, and they work together, where I can have the source of my expectation. In the character of God, in the promises of God, and in the faithfulness of God. And if that's where my expectation lies, it will not be cut off. Anywhere else, all bets are off. But if that's where my expectation lies, in God's character, faithfulness, and promises, they will not be cut off. Amen?